Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Stories from the Pack, brought to you by Wolves Fancast. Joining me on today's episode, following the success of the one we did with Louise and Chris Cobbold, we're having another pair of people on. So today we are joined by Paul and Finn Morris. Guys, how are you both today?
Fine, thanks, fine.
Yeah, all good, thank you. Just another day in lockdown paradise.
All blend into one, but no, yeah, all doing good, thank you.
Fantastic. I mean, it feels like every day feels basically the same. I mean, especially because Wolves, I say Wolves feel like we're playing sort of every week at the moment. We've played all our games nearly for March now. So I was going to say we almost get a break from the general Wolvesness at the moment, shall we say. But as we do on Stories from the Pack, we like to sort of just understand sort of a little bit about why people have came to support Wolves, some of the interesting stories that have come about from time supporting the boys in old gold and black, and how that passion has sometimes channeled for many supporters. One of the reasons why I wanted to speak to you guys is obviously Finn has his YouTube channel, which has a very large subscriber. I didn't quite realize how big it was up until sort of doing a little bit of stuff. It's up to about 42,000, is it?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a plateau, would you say, at the moment. But the growth since going into the Premier League has been amazing. So it's weird. I've got one of those. I don't know if you've seen those clocks that can sort of do like Twitter followers or YouTube followers, and I've got it there as like a motivation. It's been around the same for a while now, but it's good. It's crazy. You can't picture, like, I thought, oh, well, it's that number, but then you think the Molyneux's 30 and picturing that many people, yeah, it's weird.
I was going to say, the fact that you've outgrown Molyneux with subscribers, I think, is a pretty impressive feat. But I was going to say, sort of stemming from that, I know, Paul, you're a massive Wolves fan, and one of the things when I've been doing a few of these interviews now is it very much highlighted to me the sort of a father-son bonding and sort of that experience people often have that when it comes to supporting a club, and it almost gets passed down from generation to generation. Yeah. So I guess we'll sort of start with yourself, Paul. I guess sort of pre-Finn, when did you sort of, I guess, start supporting Wolves? Was it, again, very much passed down to yourself, or how did you kind of come about supporting Wolves?
I think for me, like most people in my generation, there wasn't a lot of TV. There wasn't a lot of football on TV. So Leeds seemed to be the team of the moment. And I've got a funny feeling someone might have brought me a Leeds shirt. I might have been my first shirt. I can't remember actually wearing it. And then my dad was a Wolves fan, and all the locals were a Wolves fan, and his dad was a Wolves fan. And then I remember the first time I went to a game, I got chucked over the turnstile in the North Bank to get in for free, and someone passed me across. And then that was a bit of an experience, a bit scary, I think, as a kid. And then I remember going back again with my dad, and Andy Gray and John Richards were playing. And my dad, of all things, took a cine camera. Not sure if you, maybe where Finn gets it from, actually recording the game.
Okay.
And I remember because you couldn't get the highlights from the game at all. So it was this magical thing to come back and watch the game on this cine film. So I can remember that. And then I think, like most people of then my age, it was that time of despair when you went down to the fourth division and thinking it was going to be the worst thing ever, and actually realizing it was actually bloody good fun. So the fourth division and the third division, honestly, the memories were just magical. It was fantastic. It was standing in the South Bank, freezing cold, just the atmosphere and just what it was like. And then obviously when Bull and Much came along and Tomo and everything, and it was just fantastic. That's one of my memories.
It's interesting you mentioned that it was, I guess, more fun, or you almost made more memories that the lower Wolves got. And I've been speaking to someone for another Stories from the Pack that's not out yet. And he was saying that when Wolves were in League One back in 2013-14, it was like, that's probably my favourite time supporting Wolves, because I got to go to 20-odd new grounds I've not been to before, new places, new places to drink, and all of that. And I kind of get it in a way that, you know, when we were down there, obviously we were the biggest team by far when you're in the fourth, Wolves in the fourth division after just plummeting. But it must have been quite a surreal experience at the same time, because you'd gone from, I guess, sort of, you say, the Andy Gray era, from when we were, winning cups, to well, that.
Yeah. And I think the weird thing is that as we slipped down the table and disappeared, at that time, most Premiership grounds weren't very good. And I think the biggest thing I've noticed is now when we are up, the quality, I'm enjoying going to the grounds again. You know, the quality of the grounds compared to what we used to go to. I mean, distinctive, you know, things like actually having a toilet or actually having, you know, things like that. We went, didn't we? It was gone about 15 years. When Bullies first managed his first game at Stafford Rangers, we yes. both went along for the first game. And literally the toilet was half a drain pipe. And you literally had to pee against the wall and make it running the drain pipe. And I said to Finn, this is what football used to be like for Wolves fans. This is just took me back.
I was going to say,
it was really like then.
I went to Fratton Park when we're both teams were in the Premier League, and it was a proper throwback. The toilets were like, it was just bricked up, but it just had like a bit of almost curtain, shower curtain before you go in. It's like, we're in the Premier League here. It's just like, you know, I've done a few non-league grounds and stuff like that, and it's proper. When did you sort of, I guess, sort of bit of both of you here, when did you first start taking Finn to games? When did you sort of first start showing an interest in Wolves? I'm guessing sort of for most people, it's sort of around 9 or 10. Was it sort of around that point, or was it even earlier for yourself?
It was earlier for Finn. Yeah, you had me. I remember taking him when he was 4 and took him along and took him to a game, and it was quite cold. And I remember you found it noisy. You didn't like them being too noisy. It was like, right.
Yeah.
And you sat there, and at half time, you said, can I go home? You know, is that it? Can I go home? And I said, well, you can. Yeah. I said, but if you think this is too much, then we'll have to wait till you're 5 until I bring you again. And so he sat there for the whole of the second half.
Freezing.
Didn't want to do that to go home. And so, yeah, freezing. And I can just distinctly remember that. And then you just used to come along. And I think it was the whole atmosphere. We were, you know, talking about it before we came on today. You know, for you, memories were things like going into crowded pubs while I had my 2 pints of Banksy's.
Yeah.
And wanting to be in the ground because it was way more fun for you, because I was just drinking Banksy's and you could even see what was going on. You know, you had the thing to look forward to of having a Mr. Sizzle as you got outside the ground. You know, you had that to walk up to look forward to. But it was strange for you. You always wanted to get in the ground, didn't you? Where we always wanted to go to the pub.
Yeah, but it's as you say, like most people's would be 9 or 10. I can't remember my first. Like, I just know that I was always there, if you know what I mean. Because from 4, obviously, you don't really recall much. Mm. I remember my first away day. I did Stoke away when I was probably about 6.
Yeah.
And that was cold, by the way.
That's very, very cold. Isn't it?
Yeah, and I was going, first time I'd seen a police horse. It was a lot of new experiences. Learned a lot of new words.
Yeah.
I've just always been there. There's a picture. The first baby grow you put me in was the kit I managed to get my hands on recently, actually, on eBay, the 1997 away kit, the white with the blue. And you got me the baby grow version, first thing I was ever put into. So it's just always been. But the first sort of memories, I just remember. It was Mick. I can't really remember a manager before Mick McCarthy, but I assume I would have been there before him.
Yeah, he would have been. Yeah,
but yeah, so it only starts coming to you from about 6 onwards, from what I can really remember.
I can just remember clearly was that my wife was worried about it being too early for him to go and saying he's going to pick up these terrible words. And I said, no, he's not. So I used to drill into him, whatever you hear, if you don't recognise the word, can't say it at home. You can't say it at home. And I remember driving back.
Golden rule.
It is. And we were driving back home from Wolverhampton. He must have been about 6 at the time. And he just turned to me and he went, Dad, you know the ref that kept shouting at him? What is a banker? And I just drove back. I was just trying to change the subject desperately, not having to describe to a 6-year-old why they were calling the ref a banker. So that's just something that stuck in my mind as well. Some of the stuff you hear. You know, you were very good. You never actually repeat it. You knew the rude words.
Oh, yeah, very early on, taking them to the playground.
I was going to say, it's weird, but with football in particular, very similar that you'd hear it at the game, wouldn't dare say at home in front of your mum, like say on the playground or whatever. You can say it in those 4 stands and it is fine. It is socially acceptable as a 12-year-old or whatever to say it just about. But anywhere else, it's crazy when you sort of think about it. But it's interesting, sort of, I guess, sort of for you, do you say sort of your first sort of manager you kind of remember then was around the McCarthy sort of era then?
Yeah, I can't really remember. I mean, I was probably a mascot without Mick, with Gary Breen that one. So must have been, was it?
Yeah, that was under McCarthy, yeah.
First guy that I just absolutely loved. And now, obviously, I know a bit more about football, and I hear you guys talk on the podcast sometimes. It's like, oh, maybe he just ran around and wasn't really that great. But as a kid, I just thought, God, he's running around so much. And he was, when I was mascot once, he let me play on the pitch with him, Stephen Ward, and Matt Jarvis. We were doing a little like rondo when I was probably about seven. I just fell in love with him from then on. It's that era that really sort of captured. I mean, yeah, the promotion was perfectly timed, really, for me to really, really get into it.
Yeah, see, I guess for sort of a lot of fans, because Wolves obviously, I guess from like the 90s onwards, had like these kind of peaks and troughs, as it were. So I kind of got into really supporting Wolves almost that mini era before you. So like my first season was like the first or second one under Dave Jones. So like I really got into football when Wolves got promoted in 2003. So like I completely get it. At that point, you kind of just get swept away with it as a kid, and that's when it like really kind of hooks you in, doesn't it? I mean, we sort of talked about some sort of, I guess, fond memories for you, kind of going to the pub when you were sort of knee high, not really being able to see what was happening. How have your kind of match day routine sort of shifted over time? I guess I mean, Paul, you've been going to games a lot longer, I guess, from sort of when you started going with Finn, really, from sort of, I guess, from being a kid to an adult.
Yeah, I think it was quite strange. I think that the match day routine changed for me, because quite often I'd go on a Friday and I'd watch them train on the car park before a game.
Okay.
So that was bizarre. You'd go and watch them skidding around on this gravel on the car park because they thought it was good luck. And I still can't believe it now. And then the players would be literally there. And so I'd go across to that, and then I'd go across to the home game. And because the South Bank was getting so busy, you wanted to get in and stand in front of one of the barriers, because when there was a goal, you literally shot down the stadium. So you'd get in there, you know, you maybe take your Bovril in, you'd make sure you had a good position to do it. I was chatting with Finn as well, and he's telling him recently that, you know, one of my fondest games there was playing Leeds, and realising that the Leeds fans had thrown that many 50 pence pieces at me, because they're always the sharpest coins, that I'd actually paid for my ticket almost, just picking them up off the floor, thinking, this is fantastic, this is, someone's paying for my ticket. Yeah, and then, but then going there to those games, I could just down tech, and seeing like the Bully and Walsh fights that were happening. You know, every time we play Leicester, you knew that one of them was going to get sent off, one of them was going to thump the other one. You know, in these days, you'd be banned for like 10 or 12 weeks, but the stuff they were doing, and, you know, they've remained quite good friends, and they do like different social events and everything else, but it was a proper like man's game. And you could do what you did. You took your fine, you took your red card, and then that's it.
I suppose the ritual as well, like, I bet, like, when you were made, because we don't go to pubs, but, well, we do on away days, but as in that pub, as I remember it, there was a bowling green at the back, whatever, and all of a sudden we just didn't go to that anymore. But I suppose having a kid there, I feel like when I've got a kid, you can't go into the pubs. It would be like, right, take him in. That must have been annoying for you, I suppose.
Well, you always wanted to be in the most inappropriate time to go. And there's always a queue, and you always wanted to go in a cubicle because you were six or seven. So, yeah, so it is. It was. Yeah, it has changed quite a bit, that has.
Mr. Sizzle's gone, hasn't it?
I don't know if it has, no.
I think it's gone on that corner.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it depends.
It was, and then it was always rushing into the game late, you know.
I was going to say, it was interesting for now you mentioned.
That's probably a throwback, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned that you really wanted to get in early, because I was the same. I had this thing, I wanted to be in there before the players came out the tunnel to do the warm-up. In hindsight, why my dad persisted with, we just need to watch him track, need to watch him just, you know, do the half sprints. For yourselves, then, I guess either going together or separate, what have been sort of the most, I guess, notable games or occasions, or even periods of time watching Wolves yourselves, whether it's kind of good or bad?
I think the games we've gone together, some of the latest, the last couple of years have been the best memories, haven't they?
But I think for most generations it will be. Yeah. It's been ridiculous, hasn't it, really?
Going to these amazing grounds, and then even sometimes when you've almost beat Arsenal, you know, they were good away days, weren't they, to almost beat them. But, you know, certainly the two away days at Tottenham, the last two,
yeah,
I mean, they stick in our mind, don't they?
Yeah, but equally, like, I remember you, I mean, you'll be able to tell the story better of the one, as in when you're saying about highs and lows as well, Rich. Like, I can't remember who we played, but you said I was crying. You can tell it better when I was raining and I was crying walking back.
It was, yeah, I'm sure it was an Albion one. The first one we took you to, I'm sure it was. First one I took you to, and I took you back, and I've got a picture. I think I sent it to you today, even to just to remind you. And we're outside the car. We got back. We parked at some school just round the corner from the Wolves ground. Got back to the car, and we were drenched through. You got in the car. You were crying. You know, your mum's text, is he okay? Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. And he was crying. He was that upset that we'd lost, because everyone had built up this thing about playing the Albion. And he said, and I remember looking at him saying, Finn, look, you don't have to be a Wolves fan. You know, I've got loads of friends that are supporting the Big Six, and they have really good days and they win trophies and everything. You don't have to be a Wolves fan. And I remember he just looked at me with his little wet eyes and just went, yeah, but Dad, I am a Wolves fan. And I said, yeah, okay, please remember I gave you the choice, because no one ever gave me the choice. But remember, when you complain in another 5 years' time, I gave you the choice and you wanted to be a Wolves fan. And it was, it's a real touchy moment. We spoke about it many, many times.
Yeah, and then you took the picture as well. So yeah. I don't really remember it, but there's a picture of
Little. I was going to say, it sounds like an
incredible... Yeah, I think that was it must have been a nice moment.
I was going to say, it sounds like an incredible, touching, father-son moment of, you know, having your son sort of really upset in front of you consoling him. And then taking a photo of it to remind him about it 5 years down the
line. That's it, yeah. But just in case he ever said, well, you never gave me the chance, Dad. Why did you make me a Wolves fan?
Just hold still for 2 seconds. I love that.
Yeah. Can you just get that tear to go on a little bit more?
Yeah. just get the light.
But it was.
Just...
And that. But it was, you know, you'd go to games and we didn't win that many games, did we? But no, you still kept coming and you still wanted to go.
Yeah, but as you say, like with Rich saying, like getting in before, it was just amazing to me. And then, like, when we started taking Darcy and my mum had started to come as well, like, I remember specifically we'd wean her off her Nintendo DS. So we'd all go as a four, but say she'd play the DS for, she'd watch 10 minutes, then she'd play on the DS for 80 minutes. Then the next game, she'd watch 20 and getting up like that almost, and that sort of.
And now, yeah, she's so into it.
Oh, yeah, we're all. Yeah, it's amazing. But as you say, like, I pray that I have a moment like that with my kids, that they'll be Wolves fans, because I see so many little ones now, like, say the dad's a Wolves fan, but then they've got a Man United and a Liverpool kit on. I'm like, oh, God, if mine are like that, they're going to be told from early on. I'm not going to give him the choice.
if it makes you feel bad, I've got a 1 year old and I've pretty much insisted she's going to be a Wolves fan. My in-laws are all big Swansea fans, and they're sort of joking, oh, well, we'll get her a Swansea onesie and stuff like that. I went, no, you won't.
Yeah.
I mean, usually I'm very light-hearted. I went, no. I've had it. Everyone else has had it. No, she'll be a Wolves fan. And then got her a kit for her first birthday, and then sort of proudly showed her off to my father-in-law and sort of went, Just in case you were wondering, no, she's Wolves. She can support Wales in the rugby.
Flag in the ground, yeah.
Say that. Yeah. But no, it'd be interesting to sort of see if she actually wants to sort of take it up.
That's quite interesting. The only team, in fact, the only team that Finn has, oh, you've never wavered, you were going to be Wolves.
No, I remember
the only team that Finn said, oh, wow.
I remember, specifically. Yeah. It was Roberto Martinez's Swansea when I was little, and I was getting to grips with football. And I thought, they are brilliant, because they absolutely bopped us off the park. And I thought, why can't we be like that, Dad? Should we be Swansea fans? But no, yeah.
It's weird because...
That's a coincidence.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's interesting that you say that about sort of supporting Wolves, because for such a long time, pretty much up until Nuno, Wolves have not really exactly had an identity as a team. And then whenever we played anybody who had any sort of style, you would go, but they're doing, they look like they all know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I fully appreciate that. I think a lot of people probably had it with teams like this one. In Arsenal, I loathe Arsenal. I have an irrational hatred for them. I guess it links to what you said, Paul, about Leeds fans throwing coins and Arsenal. My dad, I got this from my dad, who he loathed Arsenal because they used to throw coins because they were the rich London team, and him sort of going, well, I've got my bus money home now. But when I remember seeing them play, the first time I saw them play, I thought, bloody hell, like this was like the Invincible season. They all just knew what they were doing, and they were just all like, just in sync with one another. And we had like 11 blokes and Nathan Blake up front, and it's how do you compete with that? You mentioned sort of in terms of, I guess, the best moments being now, which let's be honest, they are going to be for a generation of Wolves fans in terms of, I guess, like European games or even sort of the bigger away days that we've done recently. I guess for yourselves, how's that sort of changed and impacted you? Because, I mean, like you mentioned about sort of the Spurs one. I mean, don't get me wrong, White Hart Lane, the original one, was a good stadium. But then all of a sudden we played a game at Wembley against them, I think it was, and then at their new spangled stadium and managed to knock them off the park twice. And, you know, just the level of, I guess, the experience you get from going to these bigger places and even the European ones, it's a completely new realm that you get to appreciate.
Yeah, you do. And I think you are kind of in awe of it. Certainly the Spurs, you know, their new place now, it is different. I mean, it's such an amazing stadium.
Your beard didn't work though, did it?
Oh, no, my beer. You know, the beer that fills the bottomless. Oh, the bottomless, yeah. Fell out. Yeah, it was
straight out. All over your shoes, yeah.
It was bottomless. Yeah, fell straight out. But we were chatting to the stewards and they were like, so proud of everything. I said, you know, we've got a chance here. Oh, yeah, yeah, all right. You come here, enjoy your day and go home. And they were friendly, really. But yeah, and you think on that big stage of what you've got, but the passion I think the players were slightly overawed, you know, initially. But the passion they've got, I think this is what we're missing now with the fans. When that team has a sniff, the fans have a sniff that there's something to do, and it's just like a pack of wolves. It literally, they hunt them down, and all of a sudden you can flick a game will just change, and you can just sense it. And I think the players get it, and that's I think why we're suffering so much now, is they're just missing that thing of the whole pack suddenly going. And you could see Spurs, they just went into the shell, didn't they, from playing in the first half, playing all around the place, all of a sudden they just lost it.
I don't know whether, especially in the Wembley one, Rich, it's just we played quite well and then we were losing at half time, weren't we?
Yeah, it was one.
And then second half, there was just constant noise. Constant noise, just the Wolverhampton Wanderer. And you thought, we're going to do something here.
Yeah.
It's just, as you say, like Arsenal's where they have to have Arsenal come up on the screen when they get a corner so that everyone knows to go, Arsenal, and stuff like that. It's just so satisfying to go there. And
because we're always sold out as well, it's great when Wolves score because you see people celebrating all around the ground because they managed to get a ticket in corporate or something they couldn't get with the away fans. And there's people jumping up. It's great to see that. We did it at Man United, didn't we?
Managed to sneak in and then gave ourselves away as soon as Moutinho put one top in.
I was going to say, I've had sort of similar. I managed to, via work, once get corporate tickets for Wolves versus Derby. And to be fair, it's slightly different with corporate that when you're in a box, because a lot of the time it does get, you know, tickets are sold to, well, anyone really. And I remember sort of looking, going, okay, Derby fans. And sort of it was when we lost 4-2 under Jacket, I think it was. And I remember sort of a Phoebe scored and made it 1-1. And we're sort of sitting there quietly, and then he scored. And I'd spoken with the guys, was like, look, we won't do anything stupid, because I was like, at the end of the day, I am representing work, you know, and we're all sitting there, and having yes. And then you realise, don't you, that split second later, go, I am not with people I should be doing this with, don't you?
No. You were at Derby, again, taking Finn, his first ever corporate, we went to Villa, and he must have been about 9 or 10. And we went, I don't know who invited us now, but there was two of us in the Villa Bot, and it's when
Jarvis, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. Was it Kevin Doyle scored? Kevin Doyle, I think. Or it could have been Kevin Doyle. Jarvis and Kevin Doyle together, one of them. Password. It was one. Yeah, we only won 1-0, and you jumped up, and I remember he did a 720 degree spin. He went around twice, jumping in the air, and then he sat down. He went, was that too much, Dad? I said, well, after the first time you went round 360, you didn't have to go round again. You were just at that age to get away with it without them not getting annoyed because you were a child. And I'm sat there because you just about got away with it. But I remember you just couldn't control yourself, and you didn't realise. I think I'd said before, just be calm, but you were that happy that we'd gone to Villa and we'd scored. You just couldn't help it. It was that natural thing of, you couldn't sit on your hands.
I was going to say that the sort of, I guess, the genuine excitement of seeing Wolves play it. I guess almost at that perfect point, because if you're too much older, it's something that annoys me about watching games, being at games, to be honest, it's when you're not celebrating for your team, you're celebrating against the opposition. And that can often happen, I guess. I used to sit right next. I used to be South Bank, right by the Steve Ball stand. And I wasn't caring about celebrating with fans. I was just giving it the big licks to everyone to your right. And, that can sort of happen. I was going to say, we've sort of mentioned about away games. And, of course, that's where a lot of people have a lot of fond memories. We mentioned about atmosphere and sort of, the general experience. But one thing that sort of strikes me as interesting saying that is the change that's happened at Molineux in recent years and how much more effort that they've made, I guess around the whole Saturday or, the fixture, as it were.
Yeah, they have, haven't they, in terms of what they want to do outside, in terms of the atmosphere and the fireworks and everything else going off. And I think they've made it more intimidating. Even the simple things at a disco, I think that helped on that one night against Liverpool. Liverpool were like, what the hell is going on? Playing all that music, and it just absolutely freaked them out. It did. But it's got gradually better, hasn't it?
That, helps with the full stadium as well, just the aesthetic, isn't it, of not having the empty seats. It helps for the players, isn't it? Everyone wants to be there, yes.
I just thought of one of our favourite home games, though, when that was like the Mick McCarthy time, just coming on then, was we took two Man United fans who we knew because they were on that unbeaten run and they had to win it once more. You remember when
I was my best mate from primary school.
Yeah. we were bottom of the league. They were top of the league and we were like dreading it. We promised to take them ages ago. And we were dreading it. And you can imagine. And again, we couldn't help but join. I mean, they were sat next to us and they were like so.
Yeah, we're in our end. You're like,
that's what I mean. Yeah, but you've got friends with you. You're trying to be a bit calm, but you just couldn't help but join. And we were goading them back on the team afterwards. And it was hilarious.
I was going to say, sort of following on from, I guess, sort of catching up to sort of present day and sort of, Finn, mainly on sort of yourself. So, obviously, we sort of mentioned at the start your YouTube channel. When did that sort of kick off for yourself? And I guess sort of what kind of made you sort of do it, really?
It kicked off arguably about 4 or 5 times. I tried different things. I mean, since I was about 9 or 10, I was making little videos. I was asking my mum mainly, can I put it onto YouTube? And I go, no, there's absolutely no chance, because I'd be, I don't know, doing... pretending I was in the jungle, if I was in a hedge in the village or something, and I really wanted to make videos. It was weird. One of my mates had come like after primary, after school. Mm. And then my first ever video, I think it was 2013, it's still there. I played Steve Ball at FIFA. I think it was FIFA 13 or FIFA 14. Just on the, like, we were with him, weren't we? And I said, can I record it as a little nervous 13-year-old? He'd never played it before, so I battered him. It was a rubbish video, really, but just to be like, wow, this is like a cool first video.
But you mentioned, Bully said, because when you chose the teams, you thought you'd be home and away Wolves, and Bully said, no, I want to be Albion. And you were disgusted. I'll be Albion, Steve. He went, no, I'm absolutely rubbish at this. I'm going to get thrashed.
I want to get walloped. Yeah, that was his quote. I want to get walloped, so I'll be the Albion. I was about 12 or 13 then. And then I started going into like FIFA stuff. And as a sort of naive young person, I thought, hang on, I'm sort of like a tiny fish in an enormous pond here. Like dropping playing FIFA when there's so many people doing it. I thought, what is my thing? And my thing was Wolves. Like the backdrop of my videos were always Wolves. So I thought, I'll start doing Wolves videos. And I can't remember. It must have, I think it was a Carabao, whatever the Carabao Cup was at the time, game against someone niche like Newport or something. I decided to film it. And it never really picked up. And I remember the first big one after a few years of doing it on and off was Newcastle away, when we'd just been beaten 4-0 by Barnsley under Zenga.
Yeah.
Actually, no, tell a lie. It was the same season, actually. Yeah. No, it was that one. And then we beat them 2-0, and that got a bit of traction with people saying, oh, look at this kid, because it was such a brilliant result. And then Paul Lambert's Liverpool game, and that was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that gave me sort of like the, wow, especially with Wolves sort of getting good, people wanted to watch, I was getting better at editing. And it just went from there, really. And then there was a point in the Nuno season where I don't know why, whether we were going through, I think that Christmas sort of lull where Forest beat us, and we were sat in the car. This was at the point where we were all going as a family. And I just wasn't really feeling it. And I always credit you for it, because it was just me and my dad. And I think it was a game we beat Leeds 5-2 or something ridiculous. And I was sat in the car. I said, I don't want to do it anymore. And you basically said, no, you did, like, not as in, it's just said, you've got to do this. There's something there. Carry on. And then from then on, I've done every game that I've ever been to. And since the Premier League, since we've got into the Premier League, and more crucially, Raul Jimenez was signed, it's gone amazing, really. It's been brilliant. And to connect with not only Wolves fans in this country, but a huge amount in the Americas, the South, North and South, it's been amazing.
It's amazing how many come along or come into the Wolves and contact you before they get there, don't they?
Coming to England. It's crazy.
Honestly, we've had the same from Fancast, and it's probably one of the biggest pleasures I've sort of derived from it, away from, like, you know, all the fun little things that we've done, you know, meeting players, any of that, that's great. But it's when we've had someone message us, or people who have followed us and interact with stuff. It's like, yeah, I've not been to any games because I live in Colorado, but you know what? I'm flying out in, I'm going to go to the first game of the season. Can you recommend somewhere to get a drink? And it's always the best part. And that's sort of the essence of kind of being a football fan, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And like, well, this summer before coronavirus, the plan, I wanted to do the opposite. I wanted to go over to Mexico. Obviously, I think there was rumours of Wolves going over to do America as well for pre-season and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a, have like people literally, the Club America fans literally, then it's like, right, I will follow this guy that's come out of our country. It's almost like Steve Bull then. If Steve Bull had gone, you know, abroad, it would have been all fans. Yeah, would have been worshipping him still, and hoping he did well. Mm.
I would say, sort of, it was when we sort of signed Jimenez. I remember sort of the first thing noting was sort of like his Twitter follower was like more than the clubs and every other player combined. It was about 3 million. It was like, I don't think, I know very little about Mexican football, but I know it's massive there. But it seems to like be one of the few places sort of very focused. Like, you don't get lots of players lots of players getting exported and things like that. It seems to have its own sort of culture within it, which I find quite fascinating with Mexican football. I'd say, sort of with the blog, what are sort of your favourite memories? I think one thing that sort of struck me, sort of having sort of watched them, is how much kind of you include, I guess, your family within it. And I think that does give sort of a very different element. And I think it kind of does bring it back into football. Isn't just about necessarily you just going to a game, it's about everyone you're going with.
Exactly, yeah, and it's expanded. I mean, to begin with, it was us four having a whale of a time, and it has become, it wouldn't have been the same if it was just me. It's more about, you know, my dad saying we're going to win 6-5 and it finishing 0-0 or whatever. And my sister, I mean, she's loving the attention from it. So she loves it as well. My mum's just, I don't know, her love for Dave Edwards, then her love for Connor Cody. It's like everyone brings something different, and it is brilliant. And very lucky to have, I don't know, a family that wants to be on camera and are so entertaining. It's expanded from there as well, like getting, like knowing people through it and then getting their score predictions. And just, you want to get as much as possible. It's not so much about, like, if you want to watch the highlights of a game, I mean, Sky put them out half an hour after the game. I'm not really there for that. I'm there for the, what was it like to be there for everyone there almost. And that's what we try to do, because it's more than even half the game, isn't it? It's about that experience, not just, if you want to watch the goal from 20 different angles, you go and watch Sky or you get...
But to see the angle of the fans, I think that's what people want to see as well. You're right, to see the jerk, you know, it's that build-up, isn't it? It's, you can, long as you can, in any good film, the build-up builds up all the way to the climax of the film. And it isn't just the 90 minutes for us. It's that, you know, we're going on a train. What do we talk about? Who do you meet? Who do you interview? Who do you see? It is quite fun. I've been on a train from Stafford before going down for a game, and someone stopped me, said, excuse me. He said, are you Finnes' driver? And I said, well, I'm not his driver. I'm actually his dad. And he went, we thought he had a driver. I said, no. And they were saying, is he on the train? I went, yeah, he's on the train. Could we meet him? I said, yeah, of course you can. Just come on and see him. But it's usually little kids, you know, they're kind of like, they just stick to you. There's so many.
It's next generation, isn't it? That's what you've got.
Yeah. Well, you'd have been exactly the same if there'd been someone the same. I remember you going to see like KSI and YouTubers and things.
Oh, yeah, that's a level.
Queuing up to meet them. And you know, for them, it's that same thing of like, you know, meeting someone that's doing it, like, you know, the fan cast or, you know, whatever you do. The kids love it. You know, you are like a mini celebrity to them.
Incidentally, I have, despite doing a fan cast for 7 years, I think it is now, I've probably been sort of spotted about 4 times. I go quite hidden. More often than not, it's actually not via the fan cast. I had one earlier this week via LinkedIn, of all wonderful places, because I often sort of contribute to the Anfield Wrap, which is a big Liverpool podcast. And someone popped up on my LinkedIn who didn't know I was connected with. And he just sort of messaged, "Hi, are you Rich from the Wolves Fancast? I'm a big Liverpool fan." I went, "Okay. I don't know what to do with this, but okay." It's interesting. I'd say sort of one thing sort of around sort of YouTube that I hadn't sort of fully appreciated is sort of how many really strong content creators there are, particularly, you know, in the Wolves kind of fan community, but also, I guess, beyond that in terms of, I guess, sort of general football one. And I feel like a lot of the time, especially around fan content, you can kind of get a bit of a, not a bad rap, but, you know, people, when you sort of say about football fans on YouTube, they will go to Arsenal Fan TV or AFTV to, you know, not to get themselves in any copyright infringement there, or they'll go to Mark Goldbridge. And that, for me, doesn't sort of sum up, I guess, sort of any kind of YouTube or even sort of just fan content in general, really.
Yeah, in Wolves, I don't think there is anyone like that. And I think that's why it's maybe taken a dip now, because we all succeed from Wolves doing well. And for example, I watch Arsenal Fan TV, AFTV, but only when they lose. I don't watch when they're saying they're brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's how they can transcend. For example, I've got a subscriber base of Wolves fans and Club America Mexican. That's my pool. But Arsenal Fan TV, they lose a game. Everyone in England is going, "Oh, I'll watch a bit of that." Same with Mark Goldbridge. I mean, the amount of clips I've shown you, it is brilliant to like just to laugh at. But again, yeah, it doesn't represent everything that's out there, as funny as it is to sometimes watch. But no, yeah, in Wolves, as you were saying about favourite ever games, the first time I met Dave Azzopardi, we'd been chatting online, was Cardiff away in the promotion season. And that was like one hell of a bonding session for those penalties. And so he was helping me with my video. So it was like, "Right, I'll film us. You film the penalties." It was like, "Oh God." And then another penalty. And just, yeah. So it's been amazing to meet people like that. Cause there are talented people the sphere. And there's more and more, as Wolves do better and better, there's more and more potential there, and people will come out and do stuff. And it's just be brilliant to be able to get all in, like, not on Zooms and stuff, and be able to get score predictions and stuff and everything outside the ground.
Yeah. But your thing as well has been the people that you've met, you know, so like the little girl at Spurs that you got, I mean, so many views.
I didn't meet her. She put a middle finger up to me.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. It was in slow motion.
Yeah. You know, but it's those little quirky people you meet, or the fan that jumps on your back when we scored a goal or something like that. That's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just brilliant. As you said, like with goals and stuff, I remember clips that have done well were like the cat running on the pitch at Everton, or like that little girl and stuff. It's those sorts of things in football that people want to see. It's like we see goals all the time. You want to see,
I think someone pinched Neves one against Derby. You put that up quite quick, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I was right behind, obviously, the goal.
The volley, the Derby one.
And I think that was a goal people wanted to see. Yeah, that one wasn't bad.
Yeah. but that went viral pretty quick, didn't it?
Yeah. But no, you are right. It's if it's just about your reaction to a game, loads of people do that. And, you know, we all kind of have one. I guess the before, during, after, you say that's what makes a game. It's almost the difference between it being a game and a match day, isn't it? And you know, the memory, you know, whether it's home or away, the 90 minutes is almost quite a small proportion of that time when it kind of knuckles down to it, which I find sort of quite fascinating. Sort of to wrap up, I guess, more than anything, you know, we've talked about, you know, how you kind of come support Wolves, some of the passions that you've followed with it. What's it sort of mean to you both to be a Wolves fan?
Want to go?
Okay, shall I go the older version?
Yeah,
first,
got, yeah.
Yeah, it's just been, it's the journey you're on. It's kind of like the area you're from, really, is that you never take for granted if you're doing well. And if you aren't doing well, you always know there's a better day coming. And I think it kind of sums up being a Wolves fan is that, you know, you'll go away and just, if you have a bad result, you've been with your mates anyway, and you've had a laugh. If you go away and you win and you don't expect to win, it's kind of like, great, I'm going to enjoy this because we're going to lose to someone stupid in a couple of weeks. We're going to beat someone in the top six. And as we usually do, then lose to somebody else. And so it becomes this like in joke. So when you meet a Wolves fan in the other part of the world, and it's amazing how many you meet, you kind of always have that camaraderie that you've been the ups and downs. And even, you know, you could meet a Liverpool fan, like you've said, you're a Liverpool fan, you know, that say they're massive and they've never been to the ground in 30 years, but they celebrate every win that they have as passionate as you and I would. And you just, that doesn't feel right to me. As a Wolves fan, it's those ups and downs. I remember I went to the Lions tour, and it was work, honestly, we told my wife, and I was there, but I'd got to go and fly to get for the second test. It was on Finn's birthday. He didn't know. I got with all the Lions fans, got my banner out, went to take a picture straight away to send him to say happy birthday. Within seconds, there were just Wolves fans coming up to me from everywhere, and they were all rugby fans.
In Australia.
In Australia, in the middle of Melbourne. Yeah, all of a sudden, you put a Wolves head up and a Wolves flag, and everybody's there. And you just think, wherever you go, there are Wolves fans, and we've all got that same experience that, you know, the highs and the lows.
I was going to say, I think it's impossible to go on holiday as a Wolves fan and not bump into someone wearing a Wolves top.
Yeah.
I'm normally that guy as well. Yeah, I like the gold collection.
You do. And wherever you go, and you can never be far away. You know, we spoke about it quite often, haven't we? Mm. And I've got a Wolves tattoo as well, and some people start, you know, spot it, or they spot your shirts that you've got on, and you do.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? The sort of, you see a Wolves fan, you know, yeah, sort of that sort of, I mean, there was quite a potent one recently, sort of knowing that if Wolves are 2-0 up, you're never safe. And equally, if we're 2-0 down, you think, we've still got a chance here. Yeah. It's that sort of, we're both sides of everything. We're so big yet so contained as well. And I think we're just, I'm so grateful that my family down the line have supported Wolves because they're the best club you could ever think of supporting.
Yeah.
I know I'm biased, but it's true.
And it's great fun. You don't get bored of success. You don't get bored of failure, do you? It's kind of, it's just good fun. It's just, and it's a real, you know, everybody is together. You look at the, you know, I sometimes look at our away fans and you just go, my God, what a mishmash of the human race we are. But we all support the same football team. But we are, aren't we? You just look and you go, my God, we're all in it together. It's
one pack, is there?
It is literally one pack. It has been, and it brings you together, and you know you're from the area, and you can spot an accent of someone that's got that twang of a Wolves fan. And yeah, I just love it. You know, I think you've picked it up as well, is that it's a great team to support. And no one ever says, oh, you're a glory hunter if you're a Wolves fan.
No.
You know, if you're a Man City or a Man, you know, I mean, Man City, I've got some great Man City mates who supported them when they're as bad as us. But you meet certain teams and it's all, oh, well, you would say that. But you never get that as a Wolves fan. They just go, oh, I love watching you. Oh, what a great team. Yeah,
used to.
Isn't that? Yeah, a bit boring now. I love watching your second half, maybe.
I have said for a while that Wolves are potentially one of the best clubs to support, in the sense that we're not so big, as you say, that you're a glory hunter, and you know you don't get to experience the lows to appreciate the highs. But at the same time, they're not tin pot, and you know it's just taken, you know, a sprinkle of, you know, Chinese billionaire investment and links to a Portuguese agent to do it. But you know, for me, it's those teams like Wolves, Leicester to a degree as well, how they've kind of developed, your Forests. I will pick a team who isn't from the East Midlands, but do you know what I mean? It is those kind of, I guess, those provincial cities and towns in England that, you know, make football what it is. But I do think Wolves has got something genuinely special about it as a club. But before we kind of wrap it up and call it a day, how are you finding supporting Wolves currently? I guess sort of partly for yourselves in terms of your content side of things, it's a very different turn. I completely get it from what we do, but also just how you're finding sort of supporting Wolves, you know, well, enjoying the second halves of games at the moment.
Yeah. Well, as you say, yeah, it's gone from a match day to a game, hasn't it? And like I was saying with my mates that support the big teams and have never gone, I don't know how they've done it for so many years. I know maybe they're playing more exciting football than us, but that whole thing of not being there, thinking so many players have never heard, you know, like your Semedos, your Silvers, they've never heard, they've never come out to a Pat Molyneux, they've never heard us in a corner of the Emirates and things like that. And it just makes me want to write it off, especially the position that we're in. You just think, right, get through this instead of enjoy it. And it's like, there are better times on the horizon. I don't know if you've seen, but I haven't uploaded since West Brom.
I was going to say, I had a look earlier. So I've had to refresh it just to sort of make sure.
Yeah, well, West Brom obviously wasn't a pleasant one. That went viral in a wrong sense. I had a few, like with what I was doing, I had a few people sort of drop out and not want to do it, for understandably. And we've taken a bit of a break. I mean, we filmed for Villa the other day, and obviously no one's going to want to watch that. Literally nothing happened, apart from Romain Saïss managing an unbelievable goal line clearance. It's strange. It's really strange. And it's not as much as Sky or BT try and make it out to be, oh, it's unique. And it's not. It's badly unique. You know what I mean? It's just sort of get through this. Let's not get relegated and just get back in there as soon as possible. And I can't wait. But there's definitely signs there, isn't there, that in a few years we could be a great team and hopefully everything, yeah, better times on the horizon.
Yeah, I think, you know, you get the team back and you get one or two signings get going, and the fans will help so much.
Everyone says it, but especially for us, yeah.
It will. It does make such a difference for us. You know how loud we'd have been at City last week. You know, we absolutely drowned them out. That wouldn't have been that type of game.
No, and I think with how poor Wolves were in the first half, and you know, 1-0 at half time, I could just about cope. It was a terrible performance. Whether having fans there, we'd have just been like a little bit more aggressive. But when it was 1-1 and we had that like 5-minute spell where it was like, hang on, we could do something here. It did make me think, if Wolves are in a stadium, but you know, whether it's that extra 5%, whereas, you know, for other teams, it's a 3%, let's say, be interesting. But as you say, fingers crossed, we are just a couple of signings away from being really good. Because I don't think we're a million miles off.
Ooh, definitely.
Midfielder, centre back. Yeah. Then you're there.
I was going to say, I think I worked it out that if a summer we can get five first team players, which seems quite a lot now, say we need half a new team, but we just need a new centre back, new centre midfielder, a good good backup striker, because I don't think Jose's doing it, and a good winger. And I think you're pretty much there or thereabouts. But,
exactly, yeah.
You know, fingers crossed Jeff Shea agrees with me in the summer. Anyway, but we'll wrap it up there for today. Thank you very much, Finn and Paul, for joining me. And make sure, I was going to say, when he starts uploading content again, to check out Finn's YouTube channel.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hopefully soon.
Yeah, I'll get back to being his driver again.
I was going to say, mate, just do like, you could just do like a carpool karaoke. Where you just play Wolves songs.
Just do that. We'll get a Mr. Sizzle.
Yeah. I feel like I've just given away a really good content idea away to what is this, not quite a competitor, but
individual players, couldn't you, and drive them around?
No.
Memories are, and get them to sing Wolves songs as you're driving. I like it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I feel like I'm going to have to sort of beat you to a punch on this one, but we'll see. Can we do we'll have to do a collaboration or something instead to share.
We will. That's the one. We will.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
Pleasure. Thank you. Cheers.